Live from Las Vegas, you're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey, welcome to Verve Online. Verve is church for people who don't like church, coming at you from the heart of Las Vegas. We are all about loving God, loving people, and turning the world upside down. I'm Vince Antonucci, the lead pastor of Verve. Today, we are starting a new series. What we're going to do is look at some popular movies through a spiritual lens, asking, is there something that maybe we could learn about God, about ourselves, about life from these movies? We're going to have a lot of fun. You might want to share this service with your friends. They'll have a lot of fun too. And hey, thank you for tuning in. I'd love to know that you're here. Would you be willing to say hi in the comments and maybe tell us this? What is your favorite movie? Okay, so just say hi, no pressure. Maybe tell us your name and what is your favorite movie? Sometimes we're like, I don't know what's my favorite. One of your favorite movies, okay? So, ready? Do you like a good mystery? Like when you're trying to figure out what happened and why did it happen? Why did it happen? And what happens next? And who did what? I love a good mystery. And in a minute, we're going to focus on one. But first, I want to share with you my favorite mystery. And unlike the 2 hour and 10 minute movie we'll be talking about today, this film is just 20 seconds long, but it includes so much intrigue, it raises so many questions, doesn't answer all of them. Are you ready? Watch closely. Pay attention, this is a mystery. Your life is about to change. Here it is. What just happened? Well, here's what we know. A man is walking down the street. A cat falls from out of nowhere onto his head. The cat runs away. A random dog wearing shoes checks on the man and then goes and tries to do justice with the cat. We gotta watch it one more time and try to ignore the guy's finger who's trying to point out things. But you ready? One more time. Here we go. Now that is a mystery. And today we're going to be talking about a mystery movie as we start a brand new series, which is a Verve favorite we do almost every year. I Want a Movie Life. We begin today with Knives Out. So the plot of Knives Out centers around a man named Harlan Thrombey. He's a wealthy man who has made his fortune writing mystery novels. Harlan invites his family to his mansion for his 85th birthday party, and the party goes on, and then after the party, most of the family stay the night at the mansion. And the next morning, the housekeeper finds Harlan dead with his throat slit. Who done it? It's a mystery. It's a mystery story about the mysterious murder of a famous author of mystery novels. Well, after the birthday party, most of the family stays the night at the mansion, and they're there, and they're all trying to figure out what happened. The local detectives show up. They think it's a suicide. But an anonymous someone pays a private eye named Mr. Blanc, who, wait a second, he looks like James Bond. But it can't be James Bond because Mr. Blanc wears glasses, so it's not James Bond, and he has a thick Southern accent. Anyway, Mr. Blanc is brought in to solve the mystery, and he starts questioning Harlan's staff and all the family members, and he learns that Harlan's relationship with every family member is strained. He says, everyone in this family has possible motives. Yeah, that's why it's a mystery. And mysteries are they're kind of awesome, right? A mystery is something kept secret or that is still unexplained or unknown, right? There's a secret that needs to be unlocked. There's some piece of information that needs to be unveiled. And we need to know! A mystery needs to be solved. And the solution needs to be shared, right? Someone needs to solve the mystery. Someone like Sherlock Holmes. Or Sherlock Homeboy. Mm-hmm. Or Steve from Blue's Clues. He solves mysteries. Or the main solver of mysteries, of course, the Scooby-Doo gang. Yes. A mystery needs to be solved and the solution needs to be shared. And we'll get back to the movie in a minute. But first, I want to share with you an older mystery, a more significant mystery. It's a mystery that we find in the Bible. The Bible is really a library of books, 66 books put together into two main parts. The New Testament of the Bible is the part that was written after Jesus came. And then there's what we call the Old Testament, which was written from like over 1,000 years to a couple hundred years over the course of those years before Jesus' birth. In the New Testament, the word mystery appears like 20 times. And it refers to something kept secret or still unexplained or unknown. Remember, a secret needing to be unlocked, a piece of information needing to be unveiled. And the mystery, we're told, is from back in the Old Testament. It's like God had planted this mystery in history. If the Bible was a musical, which it is not, that would be a great song, right? There's a mystery in history. There's a mystery in history. Solve it in a hurry or you'll be stuck in purgatory. There's a mystery in history. Sorry, that was awful. So, ready? The mystery from the Old Testament was this. I'm going to share it with you. You got to follow me, okay? Because it's mysterious. Ready? First, God is holy. In fact, he says over and over in the Bible, I am holy. Holy means perfect, without sin, set apart from sin. Okay? Second, God is love. Look at 1 John 4:8 in the Bible. It says, God is love. Told it over and over. God is love. God loves. He made people for love and to be loved by him and to love him. Third, you following? Third, people sin. People sin. And when I say people, I mean you. And I mean me. Okay? We're told in the Bible, listen, everyone has sinned. Sin is thinking or doing or saying something that is not good. It's not of God. It goes against God and what he says is right. He says love is right. So it's a thought, a word, an action that's not loving. It's selfish. And all people have sinned. Don't elbow the person you're sitting with because you too, all of us, okay? Remember now, ready? God is holy. He's set apart from sin. So that means he has to be separated from sinful people. And we've all sinned. But remember, God is also love. He made people to love them and to be loved by them. So how do you solve this riddle? God wants relationship with us, but can't because we have sinned. We need relationship with God, but can't because sin. Like, there has to be some way of having our sin removed. But how could that possibly happen? That was the mystery. And it seemed like a mystery that could not be solved. But the funny thing is, it had already been solved. Just like in the movie. So the thing that's interesting about Knives Out is that we actually know who done it from almost the beginning of the movie. Typically with a mystery movie, you don't know the answer until the ending, but in Knives Out, we're told exactly what happened towards the beginning, and then we get to watch as the people in the story finally figure it out. I'm not gonna give away the reveal. I'm not gonna spoil it in case you still wanna see it. But man, I wanna tell you. I really wanna tell you the whole thing because a mystery needs to be solved and the solution needs to be shared. I will give away what happened with this mystery in the Bible. So again, the mystery is we're made for a relationship with God. We can't have it because of sin. So how could our sin be removed? And here's what's interesting in the Bible. Like I said, typically with a mystery, you don't know the answer until the ending. But with this Bible mystery, God's mystery, we're told exactly what's going to happen towards the beginning. And then we get to watch as the people in the story finally figure it out. And we're now the people in the story and we can figure it out. God, amongst being holy and love and all that, God is a great storyteller. And so like with any great mystery, God puts clues throughout the Old Testament of the Bible, clues of what's going to happen. But the people who received those clues at the time, they could not figure out what they meant. They're like, huh? Like God gave dozens of these clues. I'm going to show you a few of them. You ready for these? It's really cool. So there are, these are all what I'm going to show you. These are verses that are written in the Old Testament of the Bible. And we know that they were all written hundreds of years before they happened, before Jesus was born. And the people back then, they read all these and they were like, what? If you know what happens later, you'll get it. But they didn't. It was a complete mystery to them. They were all like, yep, they were all like, that's my best Scooby-Doo. That's what you get. So, ready? Here's a clue that God gave from the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah was written around 700 BC, 700 years before Jesus shows up. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The Lord himself will give you a sign. There's a clue coming. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So clue number one, a virgin is gonna give birth. Huh? That's not typical. To a son who will be God with us. People read that back then, 700 years before Jesus was born. We're like, what? You ready? Here's some more clues. In the same book of Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus, Isaiah chapter 52, here's verses 2 and 3. We're going to read through a bunch of verses in Isaiah 53. It says, my servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. So people read this 700 years before Jesus came, and were like, who is this talking about? So he grew up, he didn't seem special, and then people rejected him. More clues, this gets even cooler. In the next verses, verses 4 through 6. Ready? Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. So he was punished. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was pierced, not for his sins, but for ours, because we had walked away from God. And so God somehow put our sins on him. People read this, what? Who is this talking about? It was a mystery. It goes on, same chapter. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet, when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. Now the servant will live. Wait. So it's saying he died a criminal's death, but was buried in a rich man's grave. How could that happen? And after dying, he's going to live. How could that be? And then, again, just to make sure we get the clues, here's the next verses. Although he is innocent, he will take the punishment for the sins of others, so that many of them will no longer be guilty. The Lord will reward him with honor and power for sacrificing his life. Others thought he was a sinner, but he suffered for our sins and asked God to forgive us. So you got it? This is how the mystery is going to be solved. Some virgin is going to give birth to God with us, who will die by piercing, and in dying, take on all our sins, and he will ask God to forgive our sins. And there are so many more clues in the Old Testament. God put dozens of them in. I'll just share a couple more. Psalm 22, verses 16 through 18. It says, my enemies, and people knew when they read this, is like, the person who wrote this is not talking about himself. It wouldn't make sense. It says, my enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among themselves and throw dice for my clothing. So someone is going to be surrounded by this evil gang of men. They're going to pierce this person's hands and feet. By the way, this was written hundreds of years before the Romans invented crucifixion as a method of executing people. And those evil men are going to gamble for the dying guy's clothes. So we know that someone's going to die by being pierced. But then here's another clue. Psalm 16, verses 10 and 11 says, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life. So this is going to be a dead person who doesn't stay dead. So you remember, a mystery is something kept secret or that is still unexplained or unknown. There's a secret that needs to be unlocked. There's some piece of information that needs to be unveiled. A mystery needs to be solved, and the solution needs to be shared. And the mystery was solved. Hundreds of years later, when Jesus came, he was born of a virgin. He was God with us. He grew up, didn't seem special. He was innocent, but arrested. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was pierced through his hands and feet. The Roman soldiers who crucified him gambled for his clothes at the foot of the cross. He died a criminal's death. Then a rich guy named Joseph got permission to take the body and bury Jesus in his rich man's grave. And then, 3 days after dying, he lived. And the people who wrote the New Testament of the Bible, they couldn't get over it. The mystery was solved. One of the authors of the New Testament, this man named Paul, he kept talking about it. He writes about it over and over. This word mystery, he writes that word 16 different times in the letters he wrote that become part of the Bible. He wants everyone to know. And so he talks about how he wants to share Jesus with everyone. Look what he writes in Romans 16. He says about Jesus, he's my good news, which is the message about Jesus Christ, the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept secret through the ages, but is now revealed. He's like, guys, the mystery has been solved and everyone needs to know that there's a way to have our sin removed. God figured it out. He did it. He solved the problem. And he writes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, friends, when I came and told you the mystery that God had shared with us, I didn't use big words or try to sound wise. In fact, while I was with you, I made up my mind to speak only about Jesus Christ, who had been nailed to a cross. And he writes, again, in Ephesians, another letter he wrote that's a book of the Bible, chapter 1, he says, Christ sacrificed his life's blood to set us free, which means that our sins are now forgiven. And by what Christ has done, he has made known to us the mystery. God figured out a way for us to have relationship with him. He's holy. He has to be separate from sin. We're sinful, but he found a way to separate us from our sins so we don't have to be separated from him. Jesus died so that our sins can be forgiven, so that you can have your sins forgiven, so you can have a relationship with God. You can live your life in God's love. How? Remember the clue that God gave. It's because we read 700 years earlier, Jesus suffered for our sins and asked God to forgive us. And the Bible calls that the good news. That is the best news ever. Jesus has done that for you. God's made that offer to you, and you should jump on it. Because, listen, it doesn't apply to everyone. Do you remember the verse that we looked at earlier? It's actually the verse just before the one we just looked at. That was Isaiah 53:12. This is Isaiah 53:11. It said, he will take the punishment for the sins of others, ready, so that many of them will no longer be guilty. Many of them will no longer be guilty of their sins. Not all of them. See, Jesus' death, the forgiveness he offers, doesn't apply to everyone. It applies to anyone who accepts it. It's a gift that God is offering to you, and like with any gift, you have to receive it. How? You just tell God, yes, you want it. You put your faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross for you, and you're no longer guilty. You are forgiven. You are free. And if that's where you're at, if you want to say yes to God, man, would you let us know? You can do that at verve.cc. That's where you find our digital connection card. You can go there now if you want, or after the service, which just has a few more minutes. Verve.cc. And on that card, you can let us know that you're wanting to say yes to God's offer. We would love to celebrate that with you and walk with you as you take next steps in this newness of life and relationship with God. In fact, we would love to tell you about an awesome online class. It's way more fun than a class, but we offer called Next Step, which will help you know how to take next steps with God. Once you do say yes to God's offer, what is next? There's, I guess, a lot, but remember, a mystery needs to be solved and the solution needs to be shared. When you find something out, You got to tell people. And when you find out that God loves you and Jesus died for you and all your sins can be forgiven and you can have a relationship with God and you can go to heaven, you've really got to tell people. In fact, that's all that guy Paul, who we looked at, that's all he wanted to do. Check out what he writes in Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. He says to his friends in the city, Colossae, he says, be sure to pray that God will make a way for us to spread his message and explain the mystery about Christ, even though I am in jail for doing this. He was literally in prison for talking about Jesus. It was illegal back then. He says, please pray that I will make the message as clear as possible. Live wisely among those who are not yet believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. He's like, man, when a mystery's been figured out, people need to know. And the solution of this mystery, that there is a way to be forgiven for everything you've ever done, to be reconnected with God, filled with God, to live life in his love, knowing you are loved no matter what you've done by the one who matters most, to live with hope because you know heaven is coming. Everyone needs to know that. Jesus is for everyone, and everyone needs to know. Paul was imprisoned and ultimately executed for telling people about Jesus, but prison, death, that was not going to stop him. And so, like Paul, we pray that God will make a way for us to spread the message, that we can share that God made a way, and the way is Jesus, that we'll make the most of every opportunity we get and share it as clearly as we can. God made a way for us, and we need to make a way for our friends. A mystery needs to be solved, and the solution needs to be shared. I'm going to pray for that for us, and then we're going to have our band lead us in a song, and this is a chance for you to sing if you want to sing, or you might just use this time to pray, to connect with God, to think about what you heard today and what you need to do. So let's pray, and then we'll have that song. God, man, what I just shared is the most incredible thing anyone could ever talk about or understand. We sin. You can't be in relationship connected to sin. And so you died for us so that we could have you and your love and go to heaven. Thank you. God, maybe right now there's someone watching and their heart's beating a little fast because they realize I've never really said yes to that. And right now, they could say, God, I say yes. I put my faith in Jesus. God, if there's someone who's thinking that, who's saying that to you right now, I pray that they would let us know through that connection card at verb.cc, and that would just be awesome to celebrate and walk with that person. God, for those of us who have, man, we need to share this mystery, that there is a solution. And so would you help us to invite people to check out Verve so that they can find out about Jesus, because Jesus changed everything. And we pray in his name, amen.